Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
This past Wednesday was kind of a realization as I was preaching to the youth. It was just this kind of like this revelation I had of the church body, and I think maybe even specifically to this church body, just something God put on my heart. And especially when it's something that I feel like is robbing the church, you know, something that is getting in the way of all the potential we have. You know, I'm a very protective person, so when something threatens the livelihood of my family, I get hyped. Like the other night, my dad's out of town, and the other night, I was over at a friend's house, and my mother texts me and says, "Are you home?" And I'm like, "No, I just left. You know I left." "No." She's like, "Well, I think there's somebody in the house." And I'm like, "What?" I'm like, "Are you sure? Because you're getting older, Mom." I'm not. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Whew. Well, my dad's not here. Somebody's got to make it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Mom. I mean, she had already taken her hearing aids out, so I figured. No, I'm just kidding. Mother, you are a wonderful woman, and thank you so much over the years for not poisoning me when I eat your meals. Except for that one time you mashed up cauliflower and didn't tell me. Those two jokes were for that. I'm just saying. I get a big plate full of mashed potatoes, one bite, what in the world is this? And it was cauliflower. Like, you know, people are getting weird nowadays when mashed cauliflower is on the list, just saying. But no, she texts me and I'm like, "Are you serious?" She's like, "I just heard a loud bang," but then it continued, like there was more noise than just one loud bang. And I'm thinking, oh boy. Well, I had walked to my friend's house because they don't live that far away. And so I was like, okay, well, now I got to run back home because I'm not going to walk. So, like, as I'm running, I call her because I'm like, I want to hear what's going on. I mean, if something's happening, I don't know what's going on, you know. It's one of those situations where you're like, never's going to happen to me. But then the next thing you know, it could be happening to you. And so I'm like, two of my buddies, they were like coming with me. Well, he had golf clubs in the back seat, so he couldn't drive us all. So I'm running while he's driving his Camaro past me. And I said, "Don't pull into the driveway, because if somebody's there, I want to find them there." And so he parks a little ways away from the house. They get out, and I'm walking. I go to the back door, because I'm like, going in the front door, they're going to know I'm here. And plus, this way, I know the front door's locked. They ain't getting out. You ain't getting nowhere. But I may be little, but realize it's not always the biggest guy in the fight. It's the craziest, and I'm telling you what. You make my mama scared, yo. What's 911? I don't know. I ain't. You're going to be the one calling 911. But I go in the back door, and the back door is unlocked, which it's usually locked. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm like, this is getting real. And so all these things are going through my mind like, what if someone's here? What am I going to do? I'm thinking like, okay, just saw Batman, so I'd probably, no, throw my Batarang, like, I don't have my, you know, where's, okay. Then all of a sudden it started going through my mind, all right, where are the guns in the house? And then I'm just like, okay, what in the world? Nobody was there, okay? My mom, like I said, doesn't need to be repeated. But turned out to be nobody there, but we went through the whole house flipping on lights. My bros were there with me. We're flipping on the lights, checking every corner. I'm checking closets. I'm checking bathrooms. You always have to check this. I'm not even kidding you. This will save your life one day. Behind the shower curtain. You have to check behind the shower curtain. I'm not even kidding you. Before I ever go to the bathroom in any household, if there's a shower with a shower curtain, I open that thing up. I'm not joking right now. Not only that, tip number two, save your life. You check underneath the toilet seat and flush once, because if there's a spider in there, that's an irrational fear of mine, because I had a spider charge me once when I was on the toilet. And you know how difficult that is? You're like sitting there and you're like, what in the world? You can't do nothing. You can't move. You're in the middle of things. Anyway, we don't need to get into it, but I'm just saying, tips that'll save your life. Where was I going with this? Oh, yeah, I'm protective. So I'm thinking, like, as soon as I realized nobody was there, all of a sudden I was like, oh, my shoulders were up really hot. Like, it was like my dad. I've seen him get that way before. We thought somebody was breaking into our car. His neck disappeared. He was just like, like, and you guys know my dad. My dad ain't no little guy. So for me, when I do it, it's like, okay, it's like if you put a rubber band around the middle of a marshmallow. Like, all of a sudden, I'm just like, you know, like, what's going on here? But my dad is just like, neck disappears, and he's just like, okay, one punch, and this dude's like, Superman, punch him to heaven, like, real quick. But anyway, nobody was there. The point of this whole story, getting really off track this morning, but I'm protective, okay? The thoughts going through my mind, if I found somebody in my house, like, you know, just short of, yeah. So, I mean, when somebody is in my church house, I mean, obviously this is God's house, don't get me wrong. When somebody is messing with my church family, there ain't no mercy here, man. I'm fixing to kill them, man. It's just, you can put that on record. I don't even care because I'm talking spiritually right now. People always ask me what are my arrows for on my fingers, and some of you probably see it from a distance, never seen it close, and you're like, this dude's drawing on his fingers? What is he doing? No, they're tattoos and they're arrows. Because back in the day when two arrows were shown together, it meant war. And there's a Bible verse about Psalms, what is it, 140-something-something. I know it. I just right now, Red Bull, all that, you know, it's just not always making sense in my brain. It's just going way too fast. But it says, the Lord is my rock. He prepares my hands for war and my fingers for battle. And so every time I fold my hands to pray, it's battle. It's war. I'm coming after the devil. I'm coming after the enemy. There ain't no stopping me now. And see, that's what I'm talking about this morning. There's something that is robbing us. And realize this isn't a message where one of you could be like, okay, he's talking about that group. I'm just here to kind of learn a little bit. No, this is everybody because there's two sides to this coin. Nobody in here is innocent. I'm talking about opportunity this morning. The opportunities we have. Because as I was preaching on Wednesday night, I was talking to them about hearing God's voice. I was talking to them about discernment. And what ended up being here's like a message in like 30 seconds is, how do you hear God's voice? Is to know God. There you go. Simple as that. Know God. Well, then how do we get to know God? And I said, you read his word, you spend time in prayer, you do all these things. But I was telling them about reading the word of God. And as I was preaching this to them, and I'm sitting there, all of a sudden I realize I'm screaming at them right now. And like, I'm just yelling, I'm like, get to know, and I'm like saying, read the Bible over and over and over again. But this old saying popped into my head. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And I was thinking, how often as a preacher, as my dad preaches, or if my mom preaches, or if some other preacher preaches, how often we're taking, no offense, you're a really pretty horse, but the horse, and leading you to water, but we can't make you drink. The opportunity you have every Sunday, every Wednesday, the door that is open before you, so oftentimes, We get this stinking complacent, and I'm a victim of it. Realize this message is for me too. Okay, I'm but a man. We just kind of sit there in our lazy boy or lazy it, is that PC? Lazy it recliner, and we just sit there, and we're like, God, open a door for me. And then a door opens, and we're like, okay, God, thank you. But then nothing changes, and we're like, why is nothing changing? Oh, my word. I had the faith that God would open a door. What's going on? Here's a tip. Just watch this. Get up and go through the door. You have faith, but where's your action? You guys know the verse now. Now you see where the message is going. I don't even know if I have to finish. No, I'm just kidding. I do. Because I like to talk. The Bible talks about it. Faith without action, dead, right? It's nothing. Too often times we just sit back and say, God, provide this opportunity. Why is nothing moving in my life? I go to church on Sunday. Well, are you, you have faith, but are you doing anything? Think about David versus Goliath. All right, God, prepare me. Oh, I believe in you. I have faith that I can slay the giant. But if he never threw the rock, is he slaying anybody? The Bible talks about the word of God being a sword, right? How good is a sword if you don't pick it up and cut someone's head off with it? Now, I'm not saying actually cut people's heads off, okay? We're not that other group. We are Christians. I'm talking about the enemy here. Are we taking the word of God and are we wielding it, actually using it? Are we drinking of the water or are we just showing up? Are we just showing up? I'm going to close it. Whoa, see that catch? Anyway, I'm going to close it for dramatic effect. Are we just showing? We're just going up and be like, okay, God, teach me something. Oh, that was awesome. Oh, okay, there we go, open. Don't even look at it. Don't even read it. Okay, God must have shown me something, right? God, teach me something. I open my Bible. You have to act on it. Read it. Don't just open it. Don't just carry it. Don't just show up to church. Don't just show up to the watering hole. Drink of the water. Quit playing around in it. On the other hand, some of you are thinking, well, I'll tell you what, I'm all about my Bible study. I read my Bible 5 times a day. I pray over every meal and twice in between. I'm showing up to church on Sunday and Wednesdays and men's Bible study, even though I'm a woman. No, I'm just kidding. But I'm just kidding. But I show up to all these different things. I just realized that deep voice probably wasn't a woman. But, well, maybe. No offense to people with deep voices. Get back on track. Showing up to all these things. I do this. I'm acting out on it. I'm doing all these things. Well, then my question is, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Because just like the other person, you're showing up to the watering hole, but you ain't drinking it. You got all these actions trying to look good, but are you really believing for it? Are you really believing for it? I've seen some of the greatest of Christians. By that, I mean the fundamentals, they got it down, man. They're reading their Bible. They know some of the scripture. They know all these things. But they don't, how can I put this? When it comes to praying for others, they don't see it happening. When they come to loving the lost, you don't see it happen. And you want to know how I can prove this really quick? Thanks for the hat. He bought this for me. Now, you don't need to raise your hand, but how many of you in here does it bother to see me with a hat on in church? Bugs you, doesn't it? Well, my question to you is, if somebody lost shows up with a hat on in church, is it going to bug you? Or are you going to love them? Are you going to love them? Or are you going to say, hey, you're in church, take your hat off, boy? Now, obviously, I know better because I've grown up in the church. I have a reverence in my own heart that not everybody else has. So I know it's not the greatest to wear my hat in church. But realize this. You have faith, but where is your action? Are you going to love them still? Are you going to love them still? Because the Bible doesn't say, force your conviction on everyone else. Make them just like you. Because if they did, wow, this world would be messed up. It says make them like, it doesn't say make them anything. It says encourage and water. God's the one that makes them into something.
Amen. That's right.
So you just sit back and fix yourself. Worry about yourself. I'm going to leave this on because I think it's going to get your attention. And plus, it's Cavs, so. Hey, and just so y'all know, I was wearing Cavs gear before he ever had a ring, okay? Don't think I'm some bandwagon fan. I've been with him since day one in the NBA. But anyway, where is it? Now you see what I'm saying, that nobody in here is innocent right now? Because some of us have faith without the action, some of us have action without the faith, but realize that is what's robbing us to grasp the full opportunity that is God and what He has for us. There is countless opportunity for you to prove your faith or for your faith to initiate action. One of them being this morning, communion. It's an opportunity. The door is open for you to express. For you to express, you know, this do in remembrance of me, express your salvation. Not only that, experience it once again almost. Like every time that I take communion, it literally, I feel like He's washing me clean again. It's a chance to experience it again. It's a chance to proclaim it again. Because the Bible talks about proclaiming this until He comes again. It's a chance to proclaim what He did on the cross and thank Him for it. And to clean out your garbage. Wipe the slate clean. The same way there's a sign up out in the foyer. And I ain't trying to talk no shade or throw shade to anybody, all right? But last time I checked, there was like only 3 people signed up. God bless those 3 people. And I ain't saying, you're not good if you're not getting baptized. That's not what I'm saying. Like I said, I ain't throwing shade at nobody. But I'm thinking to myself, for those who have never been baptized or you were sprinkled as a baby, no offense to that, I don't really know a lot about it because I've never been to another church other than an Assemblies of God church. I went to one Catholic funeral once and then, yeah, that was basically it. That's the only experience I have outside of an Assemblies of God church. So for me, baptism was always a personal decision. It was an outward expression of it, the inward decision. It was proclaiming it for all to see. It's like when you get in a relationship, at least my generation, Facebook official, right? It ain't official until it's Facebook official. You proclaim it for the world to see. You tell that young girl and you're like, dudes, you're like, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops that I love you. You're beautiful. And then like 5 years into it in the mornings, you're like, ooh. No, I'm just kidding. But no, you're proclaiming it. It's the same thing with baptism. And I'm not saying if you were sprinkled as a baby, it doesn't count. I'm not saying that. I'm not. But do you ever think about making it personal? Because when you were sprinkled as a baby, unless you were like a really weird baby that made conscious decisions, then it was probably your parents' choice. And my question to you is, are you still going to be a little mama's boy? A little daddy's girl? Are you going to make your faith your own? Are you going to make it your own? Are you going to pick up the sword and wield it? Are you going to know the Word of God and use it? Not just know it, but use it. Because see, the Bible talks about knowledge puffs up, love builds up. See, knowledge, I think about the people that have all sorts of knowledge, especially biblical spiritual knowledge. They sit in the pew and they think about when the preacher's preaching, well, that wasn't correct, or they're wearing a snapback hat with a flat brim in church, that's sinful. They're just getting all this knowledge. They're reading the Word of God. And when you like intake a lot and you're not doing a whole lot, what happens? Fatness. Trust me, I know a thing about it. Even though I look, I'm what they call skinny fat. You put clothes on, you look good. But without clothes, like without a shirt, you don't want to see it. The muffin top, I put a cute shirt on so I look like a cupcake. But really, it's a muffin top, fam. I'm just being honest with you. I went from in college because college food was interesting. And then when, you know, like third dinner. They don't have that at college unless you got like a lot of ramen, but I was even too poor for that. So you didn't eat a lot. And so I went from end of the year college, so like May, I was like $130. And I didn't go back to college, and I stayed at home, and God bless my mother and her good cooking. I went from 130 to 175 at Christmas. And as you can tell, that wasn't because I'm looking like Phil Heath bodybuilder or something like that. That's because my mom is a wonderful cook. And I was tired of running and working out and things. But see, that knowledge puffs us up to the point where we so fat, we ain't moving nowhere. We ain't doing nothing. But see, love, God is love. So God and his love builds up. The difference between building and puffing, puffing is an uncontrolled growth. Just wherever it wants to go, it just bloop. Oh. But building is a calculated, intentional placing of things to build a beautiful structure. My dad talked about it, was it last Sunday that he talked about chiseling? Or was that a couple Sundays ago? I don't remember. I remember the message, I just don't remember when it was. But he talked about chiseling, right? Carving something, building something that is beautiful. Chiseling away the garbage. See, building up versus puffing up. You have faith, where is your action? Action, where is your faith? And that is what I see robbing the church right now. Because we have a little bit of each, but realize it's both. It's both. You got to have both. That's what changes the game. That is what changes the game. That's what makes the difference. Like, I mean, I'm trying to think of 20 other ways to say it. But I can't, because it's as simple as that. You got to have both. And see, and here's the thing. If we cared as much about this, because see, the opportunity, the door is open. And sometimes there's those of us that walk through the door, but the only time we walk through the door is on Sunday. What about the opportunity on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? Oh, wait, I go to church Wednesday night, so I'm good. Oh, well, what about Wednesday during the day? What about Thursday? What about Friday? Saturday? Oh, wait, that's my day of rest. Oh, well, keep the Sabbath holy, my friend. What about that day, too? See, because I was texting a student, and it wasn't one of the students in Sparta. He's from a different town, and we met up at a youth convention once, and I just really took to the kid because he's an absolute phenomenal athlete, just a cool kid all around. I see a lot of potential in him, but I also see a lot of me in him, which scared me, so I wanted to help him so he doesn't make the same mistakes I did. And so I reach out to him, and we were texting, and I said, you know, because I always see him at like camp or youth convention and things like that. But I was like, so how's life been since camp? What are you going after? Because see, I'm the kind of friend that'll ask you the hard questions. I almost annoy friends to a point. Especially if my friend brings me a Red Bull. I'm gone, fam. That's just crazy. And so many people are like, Red Bull's not healthy. Here, try this. And I'm like, you realize after you've had Red Bull, nothing else works, man. Like, I'd have to go on like a 2-year-long detox and then try your stuff, and then maybe it would work. But I've been pumped up with so much caffeine that, yeah, it's not healthy, but I'm good where I'm at. But I'm texting him, and I ask him. And he's like, you know what, I haven't been to youth in so long. I've been having football. And I was thinking to myself, well, that's really weird. That wasn't necessarily what I asked you. I didn't ask you about your church attendance. I didn't say this to him, but I'm thinking in my brain, I didn't ask you about your church attendance. I asked you what you're going after. but he automatically assumed his relationship with God was the equivalent of his church attendance. Because the only time he experiences God is at church. Is that why? Probably. See, the opportunity isn't just here. Yeah, there's opportunity on a Sunday morning for you to take your faith, make it your own, so you carry it throughout the week. Your faith and action, action and faith, you see in the tie here? You need them both. So then I texted him, I said, well, what about your daily reading and praying? And he said, man, I've just been really lacking. And it's funny to me, I get why some people can't make it to church. I get it. You know, me personally, I didn't miss church when I was, and not just because my parents were pastors. They actually had to force me to miss church once. Because I was like, at a basketball tournament, and I was like, nah, I'm going to church. I'm not staying for the Sunday games. And they're like, no, son, your team needs you, even though they really didn't. But I was not very good at that age. But, you know, they forced me to miss church. I didn't miss church much, but I get it, okay? But realize living from church service to church service is not a relationship with God. That's a relationship with church. You need to have a relationship with God. And you need to make it real. You need to make it your own. Not only that, it's this whole mentality, man, where we just want, like the benefits of it, right? We just want the benefits of it. And that's part of the reason why we have faith without action and action without faith. Is because faith, oh, if I have faith in God, he blesses me, he does these different things for me, that's great, but I don't really want to do anything. Oh, I got actions, and oh my word, I served at this, I made lunch for this, I did that, I helped out in the kids' church, I helped with communion, I did this, and badge, and it makes you feel good, because if you're like me, doing things makes you feel good. But then, where is your faith? It's this whole mentality. And there's another part to it. I read something this past week. Who would have known Facebook was actually good for something? No, I'm just kidding. People always come up to me afterwards like, man, you really go in on Facebook. And I'm like, it's not that I go in on Facebook. It's just certain people on Facebook that annoy me. Types of people, I should say. But anyway, I read this thing and it was Christians. This is really good, fam. So you better listen. Christians are people. They want to be saved from the penalty of sin, but don't really want to be saved from their sin. Did you catch that? You don't want to go to hell, but you want to keep on having sex outside of marriage. You want to keep on getting drunk. You want to hang on to your pride. You want to keep looking at porn. You want to keep... The list goes on. It's the same mentality. You can't have both. Of that. You can't have this world and faith in God. You got to cut out the worldly side. You got to cut those things out. And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to faith and action. The worldly side comes in and corrupts the dynamic duo of faith and action. It robs you of the actions because you're getting blessed by God because of your faith and you think, oh, I don't need to do anything. I'm fine. See, it's that carnal flesh desire that makes us think that. That's what it is. It's that carnal side. So we got to cut it out. Remove it from our life. We need to stop having a relationship with church and relationship with God because that changes everything. It changes it all. So the opportunities that we have to go beyond just at church. You have a chance to put your faith into action by helping Miss Benita set up for the cornrows. And this ain't just some sales promotion, okay? Because trust me, if you've been setting up stuff at the church and tearing down stuff at the church as long as I have, oh my word. Even before I was employed at the church, I was employed at the church. I've set up and tore down those chairs and tables in there more times than you could count by myself. I kind of prefer it that way, though, sometimes. Some people just get in the way. No offense. But hey, if you're looking for work to do, hey, I'll sit back and be the taskmaster. Master. I'm just kidding. But really, you want to put your faith into action, start volunteering. Kids church needs help. The youth needs help. I'll tell you what. Me and my man Justin, the only youth leaders. Well, Brittany, she helps out with the females. That's all I got. It's difficult, I'll tell you what. And I ain't trying to complain. But I'm telling you what. Put your money where your mouth is. You talk like you serve God. Serve people, too. Not only that, you serve people, but are you serving God? Are you just doing it because the friend of a king receives many gifts? Oh, I do favors so I can get favors back. That's not how this works, my friends. If we cared about this, communion, the cross, revival, as much as we care about Sparta football, and by care I mean talked about. Trust me, I'm there with you. There's things that I care about and talk about that, you know what? My actions prove that it can be more important than this church. Cavs for one. LeBron James. I've been defending him since day one till I'm blue in the face. But have I been defending God? Have I been defending God as much as I can since day one? You can talk all you want about Packer football, but when's the last time you had a conversation about God? I'm serious. Think back right now. When is the last time you had a conversation and not just you said, you stubbed your toe and said, oh my God, but you actually sat down and talked about what God is doing in your life or in someone else's life, where you actually reached out to somebody and they were in need and so they went to you. And you may think, well, none of my friends must have problems because they never come to me. Or maybe they've learned to never come to you. Maybe it's because you're lacking something. And I don't want this to be a message. I know I always sometimes come across like, yo, bend over, I'm going to spank you right now. Like a punishment thing. But I'm doing this because in order, you know, iron sharpens iron. You got to hammer it while it's hot, man. Strike it while it's hot. My dad talked about that. That's what I'm trying to do this morning. I know sometimes it comes across harsh, but I want it to be encouraging and challenging because you never grow if you're never challenged. And so let this be a challenge that you would maybe take something you hear, not just this Sunday, but every Sunday, and actually use it throughout the week. Start putting your faith into action. Start having actions that prove your faith. Put your money where your mouth is. There's opportunities all around you. This morning, just being here is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to hear God's word. Not just some words coming from a preacher, but God can speak to you this morning. I'm always a firm believer in that. Because I've had moments where I've heard sermons, because if you've heard as many sermons as I have, not that I've some like, you know, seasoned Christian because I'm screwed up in the head, but, you know, if you've heard as many sermons as I had, they start to get repetitive. They start to get like, oh, I heard what his intro was, so now I know exactly how the sermon's going to go. Because I've heard it 10 times before. So I've had moments like that, but then when I listen to them, all of a sudden, it's like they are on mute and God starts speaking. And that's what I want it to be every time I preach. I was not confident in this message. I got to be honest. I was not confident in it. But that happens a lot because I'm not very, oh, I actually am a really cocky person. But I admit it, it's a fault of mine. That's why my dad humbles me every chance he gets. But see, I wasn't confident in it. But you know what? I was confident in God. That I would be put on mute and he would start to speak. I kind of didn't go with my notes this morning. That explains a lot of the rabbit trails. Sorry. But realize, if all you do is focus on God and listen to him, and then take what you have heard, take what you have learned, and put it into action, then you're living the life. You're living it. Half the reason, or the reason half the time, that you continually struggle with the same exact thing over and over and over again is because you got idle hands. And you think, no, I'm at work all day, and then I go home and I work, and my wife makes me do this, and or whatever, or, you know, wife at home or at work, comes home and cook and do whatever it is. Try not to be sexist here. I just grew up in a home where it was very traditional. So that was my first mentality. But anyway, you get so busy and you're like, I'm always doing something. I'm talking about your spiritual hands, fam. What are your spiritual hands doing? Because I just had a conversation with somebody this week, and I've had this conversation many times with people, is when you remove something from your life, like when you come to the altar and you're like, God, I give it up to you. When you do communion and you confess all those sins and you get rid of all that junk in your life, when you remove something spiritually, you need to fill it with something. You need to fill it with something. Fill it up with God. Fill it up with his spirit. Fill it up with his word. Because if you just leave that gap there, it's coming back and it's bringing friends. You got to fill yourself back up after you remove those things. That's how it changes. That's how the difference is made. And this morning, I wanted to preach this message first because I want you to take a hard look at yourself. I want you to take a hard look at your life and think, where have I been lacking? Guess what? Sometimes we got to do it. And sometimes it's hard to do that because you feel like everybody else is already pointing out your flaws. But realize when we do this with God, it turns into greatness. Because of his love and his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness, he can transform us into a new creation. And that's what this morning is about. It's about being transformed. It's about renewal. It's about restoration. It's about healing. It's about all these different things. And you're thinking, you didn't talk about any of that. In fact, you've just been yelling at us the whole time. Kind of. You want to know the keys to these things? There really isn't one. Because it's God's grace. He gives these things to us. But when he gives us these things, to whom much is given, much is required. You guys have heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again. The worst thing in the world is wasted talent. My dad always told me that. My dad always told me that. It specifically was in sports, but later in life, he would tell me that even after I was done playing sports, because he saw the talents and the gifts that God had given me. And he didn't want me to waste them. Didn't want me to throw them away. My dad always told me, I don't care what you do in life. If you preach, if you're a garbage man, if you're a doctor, if you're an actor. Not that I ever had chops for that. But whatever you do, as long as you are a good man that serves God. That's all he cared about. And leading you all up here, speaking, preaching. That's really what I care about. But when I see specific things, when God can reveal to me specific things that are holding us back, like the lack of action or the lack of faith, one side or the other, I gotta get up and say something. I could have gotten up here this morning and preached the good old John 3:16, God so loved the world, and preached grace, love, and forgiveness, and hope, and all these different things. But you would remain the same. You would. because of this message. Because then you would not realize that, oh, I've been lacking action. Or, oh, I've been lacking faith. Because how are you supposed to know if nobody tells you? And it's not, oh, hey, Brock told me this. No, this is God's message. I'm just being honest. I'm on mute, turning him up. God's letting you know right now so that you can become better. You can become greater. You can do an even greater work in his name. You can go and change the community. You can go and impact the workplace. Because now you're a double threat, right? Faith and action. Not just one or the other. And this morning I want the opportunity to be here for you all. To be here, that you would get up and walk through the door. That you wouldn't just wait for God to pick you up and carry you on through. That you would start putting your faith into action. And that your actions would start to prove your faith.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.